Hey there, I'm Sarah Duty, host of the Career Strategy Podcast. Many professionals are seeking more impact, flexibility, growth, and let's face it, getting paid what they're worth. But how do you unlock this in your career? It starts with strategy. I'm taking you behind the scenes of what's working for my career coaching clients. You'll hear strategies and actionable, yet sometimes against the grain, advice for how you can be the CEO of your career and stop dreading Mondays. Ready to level up your career? Let's get after it.
Hey, this is Erin, one of the coaches inside of Career Strategy Lab. And today I'm so excited to bring you a conversation with one of our recent alumni, Melody. Melody is a product designer with 5 years of experience in product design, UX design, and user research. She focuses on working with fintech and finance-related B2C responsive web design and web apps that serve millions of users. Her experience in planning, conducting, analyzing, and researching with global participants, including surveys and unmoderated interviews, has equipped her with the ability to create design solutions that are backed by both quantitative and qualitative user testing and customer feedback. She applies her design thinking skills to craft delightful user experiences for users and loves connecting with new people. This conversation was so great, and make sure you stick around to the end because Melody shares something that I think is so important, really about the humanness of the process of going through and, you know, working on your career materials and the mental toll that takes and making sure you have holistic support. So check it out. Hope you enjoy. Well, welcome, Melody. I am so excited to have you here today. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah. And long time no see, Erin.
Yeah, I'm excited to be back with you. I've missed your presence. So as we hop into today's conversation for our listeners, would you mind just taking a minute and introducing yourself? Tell us about who you are and your kind of like journey to CSL, if you're open to that.
Yeah. Wow. It's, you know, tell me about yourself thing again.
Yeah, the giant question. Who are you and how did you get here?
So first of all, my name is Melody and I've been doing product design for like about 5 years. I have been working in several different industries as a designer. You know, there's some in houseware. I have also experience in event, and then more recent experiences are in the more like fintech and finance industries. Mm-hmm. And so how did I actually really get into CSL? So I was listening to a couple of podcasts, UX related podcasts, and then Sarah actually happened to be on the guest speaking on some of the episode, and then not just like one podcast, it's actually like I think 2-3 podcasts is actually I heard Sarah was on it, and I was really bought in on what her suggestions on like really, you know, treating your career as a product. Like we, as a product designer, we've been always thought about product and then we never really like treating ourselves as a really like a product thinking. So yeah. I was really bought in. And then like a lot of stuff she was just saying on the podcast, it was actually pretty helpful already. That's actually got me interesting. And then like really, you know, looking to the website, CSL, and then like see what's going on. And like I joined the first course, like introductory kind of like the free one. And then I was like, yeah, I think it's good. And then it was the point also I was on the, like, I was been looking for a while. And then I was like, yeah, maybe it's better to like have a group of people was like, you know, standing by your side and aiming the same goal with you. Thought that was good too. And then if there's a guidance, and then that was good. I also like, I'm gonna say you guys did a perfect job on the email marketing. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's a little like a overview on how the journey I got into CSL. Yeah.
Very cool. And how did you decide on UX as like the thing that you're focused on?
Yeah. So I went to school. College in graphic design actually. Okay. And by the time I joined, the chairman switched the title to like graphic design to design, because he thought like, you know, moving forward, not just graphic design, not just like be graphic design, there's gonna be more stuff. So so we have to take on course, like, you know, that's a requirement course, interaction design, which is UI UX, but it's more on UI side, focusing on the visual, but we do touch on like UX. And that actually caught me interesting on it when I first take a class. I have no idea what's UX. And I remember this first class, it was, what is UX? What is UI? And this is before, you know, this is before the UX, UI thing, like hype. So it's a lot of people are still like, what is that? I'm still trying to figure out. And yeah, so that course really brought my interest. And then like, we have to do like a lot of research, like the professor kind of touched on like, oh, could you start to do some research, you know, like do some little survey with your friends, ask around and look up the materials online. And yeah, so really like started like learning about like design thinking, which is really different from like traditional graphic design and printing design. And I was actually thinking, I really like in this like mentality for problem solving, like really digging around and then like, you know, really dig a lot of articles online and then to like came up with the, you know, have a really like a data. I wouldn't say like that's like a serious data, but then like some sort of data at the back to like back you up. And also like I was always a pretty money driven person, so when I joined art school, I've been thinking what's the best way to make money in arts, like what career I can make money with. Because when I joined, like when I applied for art school, I remember my parents are kind of worried, you know, like typical Asian parents, they're like, yeah, it's just a real worry about your future, how you're gonna fed yourself. And then so that's, and I was a really money driven person, so I was been thinking about that the whole time. And then at the time that I was thinking, like, yeah, I think screen design, like screen related, digital screen related design, it's going to be the future trend, because everything now is going to be slowly proceed on the like on screen. And I started to see at my third year, fourth year, I took this class, and then I started to see, like, you know, in subway, they started put it in those like screens in the subway, in the station. You can touch it. I was like, that's injection design too. And then I see like in the museum, there's some like, sometimes they will have some panels, and that's interaction design. So I started to see this is going to be more pretty lucrative in the future. So so I was actually, I think I was on the track of like looking for a career in art that can make me money for myself, but then I'm also interested in it. So that's actually kind of like how I got into, like, mentally wise, how I get into UX. And I was pretty lucky enough, like I was having that, you know, requirement course. And then I, senior year, I decided I had to go for that. I was focusing on that from my, you know, graduation project. And so then I kind of started picturing myself, I'm an interaction designer. There's no product designer, this word yet. And then like after I graduated, then my first internship in a design studio, I was kind of picturing myself, I'm an interaction designer. But even though I'm still working on some other project, I was on printing design, but I tried to get like some interaction work, like the website design. So that's like kind of like I slowly progress it. And then, so it's like, I guess I would say I'm lucky at the same time, like, you know, kind of direct me to that route, which I was trying to get into that route as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. Cause I think there's a lot of people who are looking, like so many people in CSL, right, are creatives. And then it is that crossover into like, okay, and also business. Like, how do we make this work? We live in a capitalistic society, which comes up a lot as we're talking about salary and like need and all of these things. Yeah. It's interesting that you've had that vision for a while and you were like looking for that intersection.
Yeah.
Between like art and money, how do I do this?
And it was the time that, like, I remember, because I know I'm gonna go to art school when I was high school already, and I think I was sort of like an analytical mind since I was a kid. So I go through like the list of like which way to go for the future. I really like drawing, so that's part of the one of the lead. Another one, I like martial arts, but then I was like, okay, I'm not gonna make any money with that, so I just cross it out. And then like I just kind of go through whatever I was interesting and then see which one has the more potential. And then apply art school, I choose graphic design because I was thinking everything is graphic design. That's at the time, because your card is like this graphic design too. And then like when I got into college, I was like, no, actually everything gonna be in the screen.
Fascinating. So it sounds like you've had this kind of like duality between like art and business for a while, which to me kind of sounds like the product of you like framework, where it's like, yes, you have like a job and also you need to like sell yourself in a way, like when we're looking at the job market like that? Was that something that like naturally came to you, or when you first started like hearing that from Sarah, were you like, what are you talking about? Like, how did that kind of like land for you?
I will say I didn't really thought I have that kind of mentality, like the product view mentality on myself. But then when Sarah started mentioning about in the podcast I was listening, I was like, that's true. Like I thought I would immediately relate it. I've been thinking I was more like an analytical person. Like I like to analytical every single thing and try to find the best way. But then actually, after she said that, I was like, yeah, I think that's the way I've been doing. But I just kind of picture myself in more like analytical people. So I always tell my friends that I'm on the, like, a lot of friends who like not in the UX area, they usually think, oh, you're a designer, you should be the artsy person. But then when we really go to see some artsy stuff, and then we're like, I was like, I don't get it. They're like, aren't you an art person? Like, but I was like, I'm like, just think of the business person in the art world.
Interesting. Yeah. So would you say, so you said you were job searching for a while before you came to CSL, and then obviously you continued and you landed a position. Can you talk a little bit about like, what was the job search like before? And then like, how did it change as you went through Career Strategy Lab?
Yeah. So the job search before, it was, it's like, I've been like, you know, like what everyone doing, like, you know, apply for 100 positions and then not really like tailoring. And I think I was being like kind of frustrated, not like getting any result. And then by frustrating by seeing the news every day, like the market was going bad and even worse. And really, like really at the point was pretty depressing as well. And then kind of, so that's actually changed a lot ever since I joined CSL. I think I also been through a little that when I joined, you probably remember I was kind of doubting a lot of stuff a lot of time, and like, what did I do wrong and stuff? Yeah. So I mean, the good thing is that there's a group of people there, like, you know, the mindset court call every Wednesday is group of people there, always like we're supporting each other. That was really awesome. And also, like, you know, like the course framework, it was really nice. Like I think I have a instruction there. Like I think if I follow it, I was like, I will follow it and I'd see about it. Maybe it's gonna change. And I really like the idea and that you don't have to, you know, apply 100 position and they will get like that you can tailor it. And I also like the idea that really, like, you know, you don't have to like kind of lowball yourself as well. Like I kind of sense that when I take the course, I wrote out like a list of like my, you know, dream company, which is sort of the position right now. It hits, I would say hit 95%. It's just like,
wow.
Like that. Yeah. That
95% of your dream company list. Wow. That's incredible. Honestly.
No, like the requirements for my,
Yeah.
It actually hit pretty, I hit a lot. The last one, the salary didn't go as much like what I was expecting, but I would say because the market right now, I'm not gonna be, you know, too harsh on that, but yeah. Sure. So I do like that part. And then it's like, really think about what are you good at. And then I remember that when I was taking the course, I remember it's like the self-diagnosis, first part. And then like, really, like this one part was like, you like asking around what people thought about you. And then I used to think I wasn't really into people, like interesting on people wise. And then until I asked my husband, he's like, even you always said you're not interesting on people, but you actually are.
Yeah, like it can be so uncomfortable to ask people like, tell me what you like most about me too. Or like, how am I most helpful? It like takes some courage to do that, I think.
Yeah. And it's funny how when he said that and I was like, interesting, I didn't view myself as that. And I think, and then I immediately thought about that could be my selling point, that I could be empathy other people some on some stuff, which I always thought I didn't. Yeah.
Interesting. Were there any other like highlights? So like the empathy was a piece of the puzzle. Like how did, like, so you're kind of coming together of the product of you, the product of Melody, right? Like, what do you feel like came through from going from like someone who's applying to this job to like, what are the highlights that you pulled out about yourself?
I think the other ones, I actually pretty much know it already. Cause I was lucky enough. My previous boss, she was always really open to like, you know, giving the opinions. And so it's she's always said that I was like really out of box, like thinking, always thinking pretty like out of box, and then pretty organized. And yes, not like not too much like that. I think that's the one that actually come up.
Yeah, that was like shocking. What was the experience like for you? So going through like the diagnostics, getting the feedback, working on your career materials, and you know, most people go like compass statement, resume, LinkedIn, and then like portfolio is always like the So I'm just wondering, like, how was your experience working through case studies in your portfolio? And then did you use that in your interview with the job that you have now?
Yeah. So I do use it on the interview, and actually went pretty well. And so actually my journey with portfolio, that's not the most scariest thing, actually.
What was the scariest thing?
It's actually like compass statement. I don't like writing or like the cover letter. And then it's like, I really don't like writing. So that part is actually, for me, it's actually even more scary. Like,
because
I have the portfolio already, like sort of, like I have a portfolio.
Starting place, yeah.
Yeah, before I join. So, but like when I see the template, the course guidelines, and then like follows through the course, and then with the template and everything, it's really like I was like, oh, this is like, it's a good start point, because I've been struggling how to like have a more streamlined like storytelling through my portfolio. And like, believe it or not, I actually did a several versions before I joined. I was already like revised it for so much. And then I was, before I was putting on the website and then using the website format. And then after joining CSL, Sarah's always like, you should have a PDF. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I guess I'll take that as like, you know, start point. But it's basically at first I just transfer whatever I have on my website and then to the PDF version. I know I've been like several times, like kind of my struggle point is more like, how do I tell my story? Because the project I was presenting was a pretty big project. It was almost like a year. So I was trying to like find a way to like tell the story well, where people can have a key getaway, takeaway points, and but then don't overwhelm them. Like, I don't want them to get lost in my presenting. Like, you know, I don't want to have like a 60 pages presentation, which it's actually initially was like that, like after I put everything out. Yeah,
it's tricky to like pull it back and make sure you have the most powerful points and then actually get it across like in real time too, when you're connecting with someone and reading the room and all of the things.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And there's an example section. I remember there's a like a green light section for everyone in CSL. Yeah. I thought that was really helpful. I looked through like everyone's and try to learn how do they like tell their story more like smooth way. Yeah. And then also like I was sitting in like some of the portfolio presentation. Yes, the demo day. And that really like learns a lot. Yeah. So portfolio wise, that's not my biggest like scary point. And then I feel I learned a lot for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome and so interesting, like the different points that just like affect us differently. And it sounds like going back, the compass statement too, to me, like always feels like such an identity moment for people. I don't know if you had the same experience, but kind of going through and being forced to like look at ourselves and like, okay, how am I going to say this in a way that I'm not like braggadocious and like going too far? Like, I need to be confident, but humble and honest, but also like powerful, and like finding the truth in that like can be a bit of a process.
Yeah. I don't know how to write, like, you know, what do you call that? Like the UX writing. I don't know how to write those.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I remember I was looking around on the examples that provided in CSL, and I was looking at even some, once in a while, there's people will be posting their compass statement and then like ask like the other points. So right. I was looking at that. And so it's like, actually, I don't know how to write those, like, you know, strong selling point within one sentence kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. It's a learning curve. Very cool.
Yeah.
Are you open to telling us a little bit about like, so how did this happen with your current job? Because I know sometimes in CSL, there's moments of like, oh my God, is this ever going to work? And then moments of like, oh my God, it's working. And then it like felt like there's a bit of a roller coaster sometimes. Did you have like an emotional roller coaster at all? Or like, tell us the story of like how you landed the position you're in now.
Yeah, that's the position I'm in now. The journey went pretty fast, but then like to get to this point, it took a long time. That's what I would say. Yeah. And there's a lot of roller coaster. So before I get into this position, like I do get like like one, like I would say two, they almost like I really want to hire you, but then they're like kind of went away later on. One is I even get an official, like, no, not official, sorry, the verbal offer, and then they've been like trying to draft it for long
oh,
time,
so
and then like after I waited for like a month, they're like, I'm sorry, there's something going on with the within the company, so we're right now we're not able to hire any new hires. The other one is I interview like for 4 rounds, everyone was like, yeah, you're super good, you're super fit. There's even one was like, yeah, it's a thumbs up on me already from on me. And the hiring manager was seems like pretty like, yeah, it's like when can you, like, what's your time on everything? And then they turn away to like actually end up hire a freelance. They don't want to hire full time. Yeah. So I don't know about after they're like going on, but then like a month after they, I got an email like rejection, like a really cold email rejection, which I was really like, I spent so much time on it. And then
right.
Yeah, so there's like a roller coaster being there, like, oh, I got it, and then no, I didn't. No, like, oh, I get it, no, I didn't. And this job, this position right now, I was saying, it's actually really funny. Like the other ones I've been like, you know, apply to interview to like get it. It took a pretty long process, but then this one's 1-3 weeks. It's all really right. Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you never know? People are like, well, how long do you think? I'm like, I don't, it, we can't tell you. Like, we don't know because you just
yeah.
know, it's different in every situation.
Yeah. And it's this one that was super fast. It's, I remember like I applied this job and I applied this job online. And then because all I got, I tried to reach out to like, you know, person, like, you know, Sarah always said you had to get like, you know, reach out to people, talk to them and whatever. I got all these referrals. They never get anything. Not even the, you know, like,
yeah,
first round. But this one, I just apply it online myself. And then they get back to me like, I think the following week or just a few days after. I remember it was really fast. I was like, oh, interesting. And then like, I'd take a call. And then they like the HR, like kind of, you know, the first screener call. I take it, HR was like, yeah, I think you're a good fit. And then next, after that call, at later afternoon, like I think close to like this time, I got an email from the hiring manager that I would like to schedule up a call with you. And it was scheduled the next day.
Wow.
That's the second round.
That is very fast.
It's really fast. It went so fast. And like, it's like, I was really surprised. I was like, I can't believe that went really fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second round went pretty well, so the hire manager was like, yeah, that's we'll schedule up the third one. And then I was expecting, I remember hire manager, she was giving me like expectation, set of expectations, like, you know, usually it's a big corporation, so usually like it takes a little while, you know, if you don't hear back anything, don't panic, whatever. So and then I hear back the second day.
My goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You never know. That's so fascinating. So you mentioned that you found that job and just like went ahead and applied. Did you find it? Do you remember where you found it? Was it on the company website or on LinkedIn, or like, how did you originally find it?
I think it's on LinkedIn. Yeah. Because I'm constantly checking that company's LinkedIn. Like, I've been applying that company.
Oh, is this a company that you've been like following for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I'm applying like 2-3 times, but nothing came, and nothing like, I think I never get into like, you know, like screener call.
The screener call. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I get it. Yeah. And then they actually somehow, I guess, they saw it. Just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So for anyone listening to this later, I just want to be clear. Like, so not only like you went and like did the work of developing your career materials after like applying for a while, and then like two different things fell through, right? Like more or less. And you applied to this company like multiple times, and they eventually like picked it up and very quickly like hired you. And I just think that speaks to the, like, you never know, like, don't stop. I think a lot of times it's hard when we're like, I can't control anything. And it feels like when you're out of trust and feeling like, oh my God, I don't know what to do here. Like the keep going piece of this feels very important to me. And like, yeah, you kept going and like it worked out. So I just love your persistence there and like your clarity of like, nope, this company is somewhere I want to work. So I'm not going to just like stop because I haven't heard back. Instead, like I'm going to continue to refine and apply for like what I know I could be good at.
Yeah. And also I think it's the good point. I guess they came back. It's a good timing that I think I'm more confident on all my material. It's like I look back Like now it's like if they come back probably like 2-3 months before that, I might be like, oh, my portfolio is not there yet, even though I have it. But it's like, did I practice enough? Am I confident enough, kind of thing? But then they're coming on the timing that I was actually, I've been already like in other couple other interview practice few times, might tell me about yourself and then like all the interview questions. And like kind of, I think they came on the time that I was pretty confident already and very confident on my portfolio deck. It was the time also, it was funny time also at that same time. There's two other dream, my dream company also came back, like come to me, like I also apply it, like
wow,
two, three times. Yeah, it was a funny timing. It just like that time and then like two other company on my dream company list, and they come back and contact me. One of them went to the final stage, but then I decided to go. I already decided to go with this. This is the one I was joining. Yeah, and then they also at the after final stage, they actually sent me like the sorry, didn't pass that, but. It's just like the first, like before, like the first half year, or I would say a year first. Yeah. It's like there's not really something going in, and then that all the nowhere, all of everything coming when you're ready.
Yeah, that's so interesting. You're right. I think timing is a big piece of it, and like that's out of our control, unfortunately, right? Or fortunately, but like you just gotta like keep going and trust. Do you have for anyone who's listening who might be kind of like on the roller coaster right now, trying to figure out like next steps and, you know, keep the course, like, do you have any advice that you would give to people in terms of, you know, staying in a mindset that's helpful? Anything that was helpful for you?
Yeah. So if I say that's helpful, keep going, I know everyone's going to be doubting it, because I've been through that, like that process, like it just about doing right. And so I guess I won't say that, but then really trust the process. And then when you're really confident and you're ready on the stuff, like the stuff, like then the timing will come, like really the timing will come. And then also when the timing come, you have to be ready to catch it, like when the opportunity comes. Because when the maybe like if that's I was just saying, like if the opportunity comes to me like 2-3 months before, I might not doesn't have that ability to like really catch and take it. So I just think like try to be getting ready and don't be so hard for yourself, like try to be perfectionize everything, just, you know, practice and practice every, like, you know, the presentation, and yeah, reach, talk to people as much as you can. I like after the taking CSL course, started to like, you know, cold message a lot of people on like those dream company I want to work at. And you know, like I got one or two scheduled for coffee chat, and like I didn't thought they will reply to me. I think as, and then when you get on coffee chat, talk to someone else, they always like start with that, introduce yourself. That's a perfect chance for you to practice, like tell me about yourself. So, yeah, like it's like try to catch any chance, try to catch any people that are willing to talk to you. And then yeah, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the tough process that you can adapt yourself, like what's going on, but it's just take a step and take a rest, and then you can start doing again. Yeah,
that's such a good point. Take a step and then take a rest, which like sometimes we forget, we're like step. So I really appreciate you saying that, and the blend here of like strategic action and things that you can be doing, and timing like is part of this. So Melody, thank you so much for like sharing your wisdom with us today and your experience. It's so nice to hear, like, you know, just to like hear your personal story, like through all of this, because, you know, we connect like so much and there's always like more to it. So it was really fascinating to hear even more of your story. So just thank you so much.
Yeah. And I think that there's one more point that I was just thought about.
Sure,
like, and when I was like, when I was on the like journey, and then I was like, try to talk to anyone. And I remember this one person told me a really helpful one. She said, get a therapist, like the therapist. Mm-hmm. So that would really help your journey. She's like, the best suggestion, advice I'll give you, get a therapist. So you can go to talk to that therapist, whatever you're frustrating on. And once you talk in and you kind of let go of it, then you can come back and focusing on the stuff. And then if you feel the frustrated and doubting on yourself, and then, I mean, it's do the weekly session and then talk to them again. And like, it's kind of like releasing what's here doubting, and then join the mindset call, like everyone's kind of supporting you. So then, And then like take a step back as needed when you need it. So I think it's a lot of time it's about like you're mentally trying to pull your back, like you're doubting yourself, but which this is really human. So if you economical, financially, like, you know, able, get a therapist. I will really encouraging that. That really helps me on the way as well. It's like, I just tell her all whatever I was like frustrating in it.
Yeah.
And then like, it's, I think it's a good emotional release as well. So you can focusing on whatever you have to do, have to deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely brilliant. And just like to your point, the having the mindset calls is there is great to help like uncover some things, to figure out like what might be happening, to gain a different perspective, or to get a little like strategy. And sometimes it brings up a lot of grief, right? And like just other stuff that it can be helpful to have a trained professional to then go to and be like, okay, found these things on this call, like please help me actually figure it out now. Yeah. And having that support for you, the human, I think is so important as you're moving through the process, whether that looks like friends, family, taking breaks, going for a walk, like we need it. It's really
It's a mentally stressed process. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Transformation is not easy, even if it's simple. So yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you again so much for joining us. And especially that last tip, I feel like that is really important. And I'm really glad we took a second to tap on that as well. Thank you again.
Bye. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anytime. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Career Strategy Podcast. Make sure to follow me, Sarah Duty, on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or LinkedIn. If anything in today's episode resonated with you, I'd love to hear about it. Tag me on social media or send me a DM. And lastly, if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you could share it with a friend or give us a quick rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. Catch you later.